Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 7th, 67th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Captain, Mr. Steve Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Our quote this morning. This is just a bizarre quote, but I'm going to go with it because it feels right. The author is unidentified, but it was a favorite motto at the time of buttons being very popular around 1905. Okay. This quote is going to mean absolutely nothing, but it's a cool quote.
Yeah, it's a few years before my time.
But yeah. Nobody loves me. I'm going to the garden and eat worms. You imagine carrying a button around like that one? Now it'd probably be a cool bumper sticker, huh?
Could be.
Yeah. Humble Botanical Gardens is it. Oh, geez. So how was your guys' weekend? All this rain and wind and all the inclement weather, does that change things for you guys?
Usually a big storm will increase the number of traffic accidents that we have around the city. I haven't heard of any big ones this weekend, but that's always something we're aware of anytime a big storm blows through.
At the turn of the century, you know, the whole Y2K thing, I know you were younger then and probably not in a position of quite as much authority, at least not to the same level you have now. Ooh.
That's all relative.
Yeah. It still doesn't go too far, does it? There was all the Y2K, backup generators, backup this, backup that, yada, yada, yada. If we lost power now with a windstorm, is there the same level of backup power and backup things so that life just kind of goes on at EPD?
We definitely have backup generators that keep dispatch humming, which is crucial because they dispatch not only for the Eureka Police Department, but for the fire department and emergency medical services. So that's an area that we have a handle on. So the lights go out, but the radio still works.
Usually. And as we all know, that's the most important thing. Make sure the radio works, right?
Well, it's kind of the lifeline out
there. You kind of stepped right into that one as a promo. We'll work on that one. Well, one of the things that I noticed, it was a couple of storms back, and I had thought that each of the signal lights also had backup independent power. Not so. You're smiling because you know that also. Has that changed? Because I would think that, you know, if you're talking about big accidents, that's where the potential probably is if you can't see anything or anybody and you're just driving through and those even the signal lights, if you're unfamiliar, aren't there.
That'd probably be a question for a Caltrans on the 101 corridor or engineering.
I see.
I'll defer on that one.
I see. You're just going to back up and put it in reverse and not worry about it. Perfect. Along those same lines, how long do your laptop batteries last in the cars, or do they run off the car battery itself?
Yeah, they're tied into the overall electrical system and battery system inside our cars. So theoretically, they'll continue to operate as long as you're running the engine from time to time and keeping everything charged up.
So if you're in a situation where the cars are like parked either off to the side if it's a crash or things of that nature and the car isn't running, the laptops can go for a long, long time then?
I don't have the exact figures, but maybe around an hour or so before they'll die without the engine running.
Well, we don't want anything dying associated with the police department. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson from the Eureka Police Department. Steve, what are some of the biggest surprises, I guess I'll say regular guy or regular gal, would have to deal with in the drug culture that you guys deal with on a regular basis? I mean, because I would like to think, and I may be very, I am very naive, but let me say here, You know, and I think there's probably a majority of the population standing right behind me going, huh? With a lot of this stuff that you guys deal with on a regular basis in association with the drug culture. What if there were four or five things that when you say it like at a party, and it's not a cop party, and it's not a raid.
I tend to not go to those. Because I like my job and my education.
Yeah. People kind of go, what? Really? What would be some of those?
Are you talking about the depth of addiction in our community, the type of drugs that are being used?
Just the whole drug culture that you guys deal with on such a regular basis.
Well, I think, unfortunately, drug abuse has become such a fabric of our community up here, and it's associated to so many of the greatest problems that we're facing, the kind of problems that you can't ignore that are in everyone's face. You can't drive down the street without seeing the outcomes of some of those issues. You know, you all know that if you leave your a purse laying on the seat in your car or a wallet or something, it's not likely to be there when you come back a few minutes later. And the point being is that I believe so much of the theft that occurs in our community and the property crimes are directly related to substance abuse and the addicts that are running around the city, and particularly meth and heroin, with heroin probably being our biggest issue right now.
More of the meth.
You know, meth is always an issue, but heroin is so incredibly addictive and so pervasive now in amongst the homeless community, for instance. If you look at our prostitution trade that almost every city has, you know, Eureka certainly has an element there. Heroin is closely tied to that profession in our city. If you, again, look at our theft rates, property crime rates, heroin has a lot to do with that because people have to feed their habit. And people that are sick and whose lives are consumed by heroin can't hold down regular jobs very easily. They've got to feed that habit somehow, and that takes money or something to trade for it.
So when we hear the break-ins, and whether it's direct or whether it's scuttlebutt, drug on drug, it's not the marijuana trade? Oftentimes it's the heroin user?
Yeah, I don't think people are breaking into cars to go buy marijuana for the most part. And marijuana is its own issue with its own violence and issues associated with that. But drugs like heroin and meth, the street drugs are very addictive. They destroy lives. And the people that are abusing those substances regularly have a difficult time having what you'd call a normal life and stability and the ability to have healthy relationships and maintain a job and their livelihood. And often they end up on the street or in some of the low rent motels. And they're often either dealing drugs themselves or committing crimes, including burglaries to your house, to your car, breaking into things, shoplifting, all of that to support their habit.
So they're more motivated by chemical need rather than financial need. Distinction between those two drug cultures.
Right. Some of the dealers are obviously in it for the money, but the users are just trying to get their next, hit, their next, baggie full of meth or needle full of heroin.
I can recall, this was many moon ago, that you could tell when there was a new shipment of heroin in town. Because all of a sudden the 911 calls went shooting through the roof. And you could talk to the ambulance guys, the cops, the fire guys. And they say, yeah, something's here. Well, it's going to take another 3 or 4 days and it'll get through. And then we'll get back down to normal. Does that still resonate as reality?
Sure. And not only just with heroin, everyone knows around the first of the month when the checks come in, you seem to notice a big uptick in incidences around town with people going crazy, for lack of a better term. That's a highly technical professional law enforcement term, by the way.
Yeah.
And, the disturbances with themselves, with others, maybe some ticks and violence and things of that nature. Certainly the cops notice that we're having a lot more altercations with individuals that are very resistant and violent towards others and the officers.
A lot more passengers in the back seat, huh?
That's right.
I saw one of the cruisers go by, I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday, and it looked like there was, instead of the window in the back seat, there was metal with a couple, like three slots or something. I thought, oh, well, canine. And I looked at the body, and there was no canine. Are you guys having to convert your back seats over because of the window kickouts?
No, Not. I mean,
or
we
was
have
this
bars.
A specific, one specific
yeah,
rig?
We typically, in many of the cars, will have some narrow metal bars to kind of protect the door windows, because people who commonly try to exit without paying for their cab fare or damage the cars.
Or at high speed?
With
meth, who knows what's going on, right?
It might be, or they're going slow speed to someone that's high on meth.
Well, yeah.
You're doing 50 and he thinks you're doing, I can run faster than that.
Right. Yeah.
Trust me, buddy, you can't.
Yeah. Did you have a giggle when you heard, I think it was one of the sheriff's press releases, somebody was walking around with their pants around their knees, and the sheriff's guy showed up, and this guy ran from them and got away? I mean, can you imagine?
I have no comment.
Yeah. I see. One cheap shot opportunity, not taken. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Steve Watson.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson, captain with the Eureka Police Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Steve, when you're working with a new recruit, and I know that you're not the mentor, you're not the shadow guy, you're kind of watching a little bit further up the level in a big picture, but what do you tell the new guys? Somebody who hasn't come from Humboldt County. Is there anything that you can do to bring them up to speed without them going, yeah, right? How do you describe what life is around Humboldt Bay with the drug culture that exists?
Well, if you come in maybe a little bit naive, like we all do into this profession, no matter where it is that you work, it's not just Eureka, but you can explain things all you want to somebody, but until they actually get in the car and they're out there handling calls for service, that's when it all really comes home. And so it's kind of ingrained in the field training process and the field training program. By the time you're out there on your own and you don't have an experienced officer next to you in the seat, you begin to get an idea of what it is that you're dealing with out there. So it's a process.
So how about the newbies the first couple of months? And it's the first blank they've run into or the second event. And do they kind of come back scratching their head going, what?
Well, we'll get guys maybe worked in other communities that are not quite as unique as our own, and it can be an eye opener. But I don't want to always focus on the negative of Eureka too. We know we've got issues, but Eureka is
lots of good stuff.
Beautiful city, beautiful community, a lot of great people. We always say if you want to come and work for one of the busiest departments anywhere in the state. And we're going to gain a tremendous amount of experience in a short period of time. Come work for the Eureka Police Department.
And if they
you're not going to be bored.
If they can't figure it out, you probably don't want them.
That's right. Well, the profession's not for everyone. That's the reality. But we're a high-paced, busy department. But we also have high standards. We're striving to be the best that we can be. We want to be the premier agency in our region, and that's no knock on any other agencies that are also trying hard and doing a great job. But, we have a lot of challenges, but we also have a lot of opportunity.
So as you look at the roughly the third of the city that is your guys' active zone, so to speak, how do the experienced guys avoid thinking that that's what Eureka is? or getting that jaundiced attitude that that's what everybody's like?
You know, that's a challenge for the law enforcement profession, no matter where you work. And it's something you constantly got to battle against over the years. I mean, you spend 20, 30 years pushing a patrol car around and dealing with the worst that life sometimes has to offer. I mean, people don't call us because everything's going really great. They had a great day. They call us in a time of crisis, well, maybe the worst day of their entire life. It could be that they lost somebody that they care about. They've been assaulted. Their house was broken into. The list goes on and on and on. But so we tend to get the call when things go really, really bad. And over the years, you know, that can weigh on you. But you got to be balanced. Your whole life can't just be your profession and your identity as a cop. You've got to have a life and friends outside the profession to stay healthy.
I would think part of it, if you grew up in the town, okay, that's going to give you normal connections outside the area of law enforcement. Okay, outside the neighborhoods that you might be called to. If you've been there for 20 years, okay, you've gone through the Little League games and the Hoopsters and things like that. So you've been pushed out into other areas where not necessarily bad guys live and play. Okay. But I'm just thinking for those who might have been sheltered or moved into a community or they try to live in that area because they really want to have influence. Yeah. Do you throw them out every once in a while and say, you got to take a vacation, you got to leave town? Or we'll send you to training somewhere out just so you can, you know, break the routine.
People often look for other jobs within their law enforcement career, not just pushing a patrol car around for a change of pace. And that could be going to an investigation bureau, the traffic division, the POP unit. It depends on the agency as to how many opportunities there are out there, school resource officer. But you often see officers taking a change of pace somewhere around that 4 or 5 year mark in their career. And I think that's part of it. They want to challenge themselves. They want to do something different, get out of the rut a little bit.
So do you guys look at every 4 or 5 years of bumping somebody around or moving them or at least checking in and saying, gee, Steve, I know you've been out on patrol now for 55 years. For the next five, you want to consider something different or do you like where you are?
You know, when as a supervisor and the sergeants are probably the most important job in law enforcement in many ways because they're that the kind of mediator or that filter between the command staff and the officers that are out there doing the job every day. And so, that's where their leadership comes in, where they have those relationships that they build with trust for their officers. And hopefully when the sergeants are really connected to what's going on, they're invested in their officers' lives, both personal and professional. And when they see issues or someone maybe getting a little burned out or stressed out, they can kind of step in and steer them in the right direction, give them some encouragement, some mentoring.
There aren't many people that are made cut out for management. Across the board, any industry, doesn't matter what it is, because you got yes, no, you got to be the bad guy sometimes, you got to be the advocate sometimes, you got the game.
It's definitely a change.
You've been there. How do you determine whether or not the sergeant really is somebody who's of management abilities to be able to monitor these guys, to know what's going on? You know, if they have the attitude of, okay, great, I'm off shift, heading to the lake. There may not be that much opportunity for interaction either if that's the way that that individual is cut or that's what the family wants to do.
Well, it's like any organization. You have people with varying levels of commitment and talent that are out there and skills and experience. You know, you get sergeants that are just learning their job and sergeants that have been doing their job for 20 years. So you get the whole range. But, that kind of goes both ways, too. They should be getting input and mentoring and feedback from the lieutenants and the captains that are in the organization. And everyone gets evaluated from the bottom to the top. And part of that process should be honest feedback about how you're doing, areas that you can work on and improve, as well as recognizing the excellent work and the good job that you're doing in various areas.
We've heard about the FBI Academy at Quantico and some of the other things that a lot of times senior management will go to. Are there sergeant schools?
Sure. I went to the Sherman Block Supervisory Leadership Institute back around 2012. It's an 8-month part-time course. You go down 1 weekend a month, or 1 week a month, actually. It's an intensive program. I thought it was excellent, and it's a leadership development course. And it's something I hope to send some of our sergeants to that show interest here in the coming years.
Whether they want to or not.
Well, I've already got a couple that have expressed interest, and Perfect. it's a big commitment, but it's also a opportunity for a lot of growth, personal and professional.
I would think you'd want everybody to go through.
And there are some agencies that try to send mandatory. Everybody.
Yeah, or for candidates. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I think you have to be a sergeant before they'll let you in. Oh, I see.
You need a couple battle scars. Right. Yeah. Okay. KINS, News and Information Times, 844. We'll be back with more from Steve Watson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, if anybody is interested in law enforcement, are there police science classes they can take short of going to the academy and making that commitment? How do they test drive law enforcement as a potential career?
Well, I mean, definitely there's administration of justice and criminal justice classes you can take at many junior colleges and four-year universities around the state. And that's a wonderful starting place to talk about the theories and principles of law enforcement. Maybe hear some war stories from people in the business, so to speak. A ride-along at an agency maybe that you're interested in, if they offer them, is a good way to get a better feel of what the job's like. And, of course, if you have a friend or family member in the business and you have some time, you can sit down with them and get the story.
Or somebody's dad or somebody's mom.
That's right. And there's a few books out there also.
Anyone you recommend?
You know, not off the top of my head. A lot of them are a little bit dated, back from law enforcement in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, times I would think case law has changed a little bit in 40 or 50 years.
But still, they give you some concepts. I think Joseph Wambaugh is one of the authors out there.
Onion Fields?
Yeah.
See, I read one of his. I don't know. That was probably not the one you were recommending, though.
Yeah, that doesn't have a happy ending.
No. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you then.